Turn with me, please, to the book of Isaiah on chapter 32. Isaiah's prophecy on chapter 32. And verse number 1, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, and the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. I turn to the book of the Revelation, the last book in our Bible, and chapter 6, please. Revelation on chapter 6. Verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Verse number 15, and the kings of the earth and the great men, and the rich men and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every born man and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? A final reference in chapter 20. And verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was far no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged for the whole thing that were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, I've made all the announcements, but I forgot to make one, and that will be next Saturday night at South Main at 7:30. Brother Smith and myself will be there for a ministry meeting. We'll just mention this for your exercise prayer. Tonight we want to preach in these verses that we've read together, and I trust God will help me to make it very simple for the youngest in the meeting. It's very clear that we're going to speak about hiding places, and we're going to speak about the one in Isaiah chapter 32, that is, that a man shall be as an hiding place, and it defines for us what that hiding place is and what it's from. When you go to the book of the Revelation, you will find that there are those that are seeking for a hiding place, and they're calling for it, and they're asking for the rocks and hills to hide them from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. They're calling for a hiding place. They've been hiding in the dens and the caves of the mountain. And men will do that. That has not yet taken place. Revelation chapter 6 will be after the Lord comes for his people. And after that takes place, men will come under the awful reality that they've missed out on God's salvation. And men will be exposed to the wrath of God. And they're going to look for dens and mountains to hide them. That will take place literally upon planet Earth. And they're going to call on the mountains and rocks. And that will take place, solemn day, that lies before those
that in this day fail to find the true hiding place. Then in Revelation chapter 20, there's no hiding place. Nowhere can man hide. Not rocks, not dens, not mountains. There's nothing that man can ever make will make a hiding place in that coming awful, solemn, final day in the account of humanity before they pass into eternity out of Christ. There's no hiding place. Heaven and earth have passed away, and they're going to stand, men and women will stand of all kinds, no matter what their background will be, whether they're skeptics or atheists, whether they're genius or whether they're illiterate, doesn't matter. In that day, if they die without Christ, they're going to stand in that day before that throne, and there's no hiding place. That's very solemn, friend. Men today will make all kinds of hiding places in relation to themselves and what they believe and what they think and where they feel their going's all right. And there's so many things that people make hiding places of. But we want to point out tonight from this great unerring book, the indispensable word, that there's only one hiding place that God has for men and women and boys and girls. Isaiah the prophet, that glowing evangelist, mentions constantly and consistently the person of the Lord Jesus. He puts him under the figure of the servant, and he uses language. Here's the king, and then he's the man, the tender plant, the man of sorrows. Names are given to the Lord Jesus. But in chapter 32, he uses this very descriptive language. A man shall be as an hiding place in the wind, as a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in the dry land, and the shadow of a great rock within a weary land. Thank God tonight there is a hiding place. Now I want to ask you tonight in the meeting, I want to ask it very personal. Have you escaped to that hiding place? Has there been a moment in your life when you've turned from everything else and you've turned to Christ? You see, friend, man is in revolt against God, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, and God has given a wonderful salvation, a wonderful hiding place where men can escape, where men can know that they've got a refuge. Now, I was amazed that the Pentagon, a number of years ago I read it, there was over 230,000 such places as shelters from the nuclear holocaust that they feared would come. It cost them actually billions of dollars. In fact, in one of those shelters, just one of them, that holds 750 people, they reckon they have somewhere about $143 million worth of computerized equipment. And when I read that, when I read the statistics that the United States of America, the Pentagon, those brilliant men, devised these tremendous shelters because of fear of what was coming upon the United States of America. Well, I don't know whether they'll need them or not, but all I'm pointing out, there seems to be within the heart of men and women, but they try to hide it. They try to cover it. They try to throw up a facade. They try to put up a smoke screen, as it were. You can't get near, but there's a fear there. It's born in there. Men are not right with God. Men are looking for some way out. They'll go anywhere. They'll try anything. And men will engineer their own ideas in order to escape reality, facing God, friend. And the Bible, Isaiah the prophet, makes it so clear, from the head to the foot, no soundness, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Man is a sinner. Man is a revolt against God. We were born that way, friend. Some manifest it more than others. Remember Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. That's the verdict, friend. That's true of all. That's characteristic of every man, woman, boy and girl. As soon as we're born, we go astray. There's no one was born an angel. I hope you're clear on that. And there's no one born without sin. Only Christ, and he stands in contradistinction to all men, because he was born sinless. But when every human being of Adam's race, and would that we could just forget about what's out there in Vancouver tonight,
and look within this hall, these four walls. And maybe God will help us to do a little searching by His Holy Spirit. Have you ever discovered, friend, that you were born in sin? Has it ever dawned upon you that you were born a straying sheep? Has it ever dawned upon you that you were born without hope, without God, and without Christ? Has it ever dawned upon you that you're exposed to judgment because of your sin? Remember what it says in John 3:36, the wrath of God abideth on him. That's on the unconverted, on the unregenerate, on the unbeliever. And we were all born unbelievers. That's very hard for people to take in. I remember one occasion when a dear brother and I were visiting a dear woman. He wanted me to go to see her. He had met her about 10 years previous, and he thought he had been faithful with her. And sometimes we feel that in our dealing with people. And so he said to me, Albert, I would like to go and visit this woman. There's something I have to get off my mind. I asked her if she was going to heaven. And she answered me, and the way she answered me was not right. And I should have made it clear to her then, but he said, I did. Come along. So I went on to going along. Her husband's an unsafe man. And she seemingly was a professing believer. At least that's the place she took. So this brother said to her, look, the last time I was here, I didn't feel happy about the answer you gave me when I asked you, you going to heaven. I can see that woman yet. It was almost like a tornado had come into the house. She was horrified. She said, oh, she said, you mean to say you don't believe I'm going to heaven? And I jumped into the fray. I said, just a moment, I said, well, what he's asking her really is, when did you start? She said, you know, talking to the other preacher, she said, you know, I was always a believer. Anyone like that in the meeting? Does that fit anyone in the meeting? And as we probed her a little longer, God bless her husband. He was an unsaved man, but he jumped to our defense and he says, look, woman, at this. Mr. John McCracken is here 30 years ago and asked you the same question and you couldn't answer. They want to know when you started. My friend, tonight at the meeting, that's the important issue. When did you start for heaven? We didn't. You started wrong to begin with. Whether you're Irish or Canadian or English or no matter what your culture is, Chinese, no matter what it is, friend, we all had the same beginning. We were born in sin. We were born away from God. We were born, my friend, on the road that leads to destruction. According to Matthew chapter 7, why does it get broad as the way that leadeth to destruction? Many there be that go into that. So let us all just stop tonight, all tonight in this meeting, at the beginning of the fifth week, with all that you've heard, has it ever dawned upon you, ever startled you, ever awakened you? Look, as I am tonight, before God, not what people think about me, friend, but what God sees in me, that I was born in sin, I am a sinner, and if I die like that, I'll die a sinner. Has it ever dawned upon you, friend? That's why we have a refuge. That's why we have a shelter. And here from Isaiah, the prophet says, having described sin as it really is, your sins and iniquities have separated between you and God, having gone through the absolute reality, where man stands in relation to God, not to one another, friend, in relation to God. This is what he says. A man shall be in heavy place in the wind, a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in the dry land, and the shadow of a great rock within a weary land. Thank God for the shelter. You know, the shelter's not in the church. I like that, you know. I like the way the Bible's written. You don't have to go astray and wonder. You're not left in a fog. You're not left in a gray area, as people talk about. You're not just sure. The Bible is so certain. The only way The only shelter, the only refuge is in Christ, the man himself. You see, friend, this Bible, you'll look in vain. I challenge you tonight. Really, I haven't maybe that much money, but I'm not a betting man, but well, I can nearly give you whatever I have. If you can show me tonight that there's any other way to heaven in this book other than the man Christ Jesus, friend, I will give you what I have. Like a time we face reality. It's time you face it, friend. Forget about all your little ideas. Let me forget about my ideas. And just come right down to the basic bare bone of what the Bible says. The Bible says we're all sinners. The Bible says we're guilty. The Bible says that characteristic term ungodly. And now, friend, what we're trying to get at is this. Have you found a hiding place? A place where you're secure from the judgment of your sin? A place where the penalty has been lifted? A place, friend, where you know that you'll never be in hell and sure of heaven? Have you got that refuge tonight? I maybe have told you before, I don't know much about the war, but I was born in 36. And I well remember when we were brought from the city of Belfast. Well, I don't really remember that. But we were brought from the city of Belfast, the whole family, down to a place called Newry. Wouldn't be anything to you here, but there was a border town between the Southern and Northern Ireland. And what my father did and mother was, they took us down there because of the bombs that were coming over. And because of the advancing army, the enemy. And Belfast had blitzed. We were away in this little town. But we could hear those sirens. And those sirens that went off when we were at school, they almost seemed to almost, even yet, have the dreams about them. You hear them groaning away, the way up to a high pitch, and then they come away down to a low one, and then the final groan seems to go on and on and on and on and on until it dies. And within little hearts, feel this. Recognize something's going to happen. And then the teacher said, I remember her name, Mrs. Oswald. She said, boys, girls, put your books down. I was glad of that. Put your books down and flee to the early shelter and meet you. And at that early shelter there would be a teacher standing with the iron door open. And us little fellows with all our might, every muscle strained, we ran as fast as we could. Look for it. And when we were inside there and that iron door closed, that dear woman, whether she's saved or not, I don't know, but the calm our fears should start to sing, Jesus loved me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And there we would be sitting there. She tried to take her mind off the fact of the coming bombs and the coming advancing army and so forth. And that shelter, she always told us, remember boys, if a bomb hits this shelter, we're all right. It's built to sustain the bombs. So you're okay, don't be crying. Some of them are crying, some of them are fearful. Myself too. Don't think I cried, but I was fearful. My friend tonight, I hope that you will understand. Before God, it would be good if you cried. It would be good if fear gripped your soul. It would be good if you come into reality, friend. I'm exposed to eternal judgment. Peter, in an advancing army.
Friend, have you ever got to this shelter? When did you get to the shelter? Huh? When did you get to Christ? When did you appreciate that man Christ Jesus on God's side? He took the storm. He took the tremendous burden of guilt and sin upon himself. He bore the weight. He suffered the vengeance. He stood in the guilty sinner's place. He stepped in to be a substitute. He was willing to bear the wrath of God against man's sin. And finally,